Well, we're in our second session of the parable of the lost sheep. Wonderful truths here. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7, and I'll read it for you. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him, that is Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." So last time that I was with you, we talked about the common sense that the Lord Jesus has in relation to self-righteous men, because that's who was complaining in this particular situation. The Pharisees and the scribes were complaining. They were saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." It was a great, great objection to their being able to approve of him, that he would associate with sinners, that he would receive sinners, that he would eat with sinners. And so that's the reason why Jesus spoke this parable to them. But Jesus had a lot of common sense, I'm trying to say, in regard to these men. And indeed, this is why this parable was spoken, is to prevent us from being self-righteous. It is also meant for us to understand just how you and I need to think about and learn how to minister in the right way to sinners around us. Because there's people around us each and every day who need Jesus. And if we never associate with them at all, then how would they ever come to know God? Or how would they ever think about even regularly coming to church? Unless we think about them in the same sense as Jesus was thinking about them as lost sheep. Now, it's very interesting, the reproof that Jesus gives to these scribes and Pharisees in verse 4. He says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" And my first question for you in the paper that I passed out to you is this: what kind of reproof is Jesus giving to these scribes and Pharisees in verse 4? What kind of reproof is he giving them? He's making it personal, isn't he, to them? He's giving them an example of they having sheep, which maybe they didn't, but they can certainly sympathize with it if they didn't. When he says to them, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? So he's saying to them, if you've got sheep and one of these sheep has wandered away, wouldn't you go and seek for that sheep, even if it was a long trip on the mountains into the wilderness? Wouldn't you go after the one which is lost until you find it? So he was trying to reprove them over their attitude. What do you think their attitude was that was bad here? I mean, they were supposed to be the leaders of Israel. They were supposed to be the people who were setting a good example for all the people of Israel in terms of the way that they thought about spiritual things, about God and people and their need to know God. But what was the problem here? Do you think that they would be people that would go after lost sinners or spend time with them at all, according to this passage?
They thought that sheep were more valuable than people.
That's good.
When they were covetous people.
Yes.
They were more concerned about their pocketbook than they did.
Whoa, that's good, Brian. That's really good. Yeah, they were more concerned about their pocketbook and more than the souls of men around them. We're going to see this as the study goes on here. He's saying to them, wouldn't you men who are complaining about me receiving sinners and eating with them, if you have 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, wouldn't you leave the 99? Who are safely under your care and go after the one which is lost until you find it? Well, certainly they would have. Therefore, Jesus is saying to them, by way of application and inference, then why are you grumbling about me associating with sinners, receiving them and eating with them as he was doing? So I want you to see that, first of all, that Jesus uses a lot of common sense in this regard, and I think that you and I need to use a lot of common sense as well with people around us. We need to see that there's people of all different kinds around us morally. There's people that are sinners and great sinners, and in our society, certain people or groups of people might be looked down upon because of their particular sins as a group of people, like the tax collectors were in that day and other sinners of that day. I'm just saying to you that these are the very people that need God. These are the very people that need Christ. And we're going to see as this parable goes on, you've got these 100 sheep. We're going to look at them in just a few minutes, try to think about what that means in the context of this parable. But I want you to turn over with me to Luke 19 and verses 1 to 10, just a few pages over from where we are now. And would one of you like to read this for us? It's Luke 19, verses 1 to 10.
I got it.
All right, go for it.
Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a house, to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also was the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is not to seek, but to save that which was
lost. All right, thank you for that, Ed. Now, I want this to be a practical type of a study here this morning. And so that's why I've given so many different questions on these verses 1 to 10 of chapter 19 of Luke. I want us to think about this. What a precious story this is. of the wee little man. Remember singing about the wee little man when you were younger? That climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. I love it. It's just so precious. Well, my question is this. For a sinner to come to Christ, what does he have to do? What does he have to have spiritually if he's going to be saved? What did Zacchaeus have to do here? What did he have to do? What did he do? He knew Jesus was coming by on the road, and what did he do?
Well, he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to know who he was.
Right.
So he did what he had to do to see him. He climbed up in the sycamore.
Exactly. He was a short little guy. And there was a whole crowd of people around him. He wasn't going to get to see Jesus very well at all, he didn't think, if he didn't climb the tree. So he climbed the tree. And there he is up there as Jesus is going by. But I want you to see just what Jenny's implying and saying is that he needed to have a sight of Jesus. Do you see that? And you and I need to understand that sinners need to have a sight of Christ. We have to encourage them in this regard, because sinners either, they have to get to the place, either they have to go to a church or they have to read the Bible, and Zacchaeus had, in this case, to climb the tree so he could see Jesus. And this is most marvelous, talking about, seeking one sinner out. Jesus is going by. And he's going to stop the whole procession right in front of the tree. So my third question is, what does a sinner need to do nowadays according to verses 5 and 6 here to be saved? Jesus stops the whole entourage. And what does he do in regard to Zacchaeus?
He invites them. Jesus invites Zacchaeus.
Yes.
And so Zacchaeus has to receive. So you'll have to invite them in if you want them to receive.
Yes, and notice, that's really good. But notice what Jesus did here. Jesus knew him by name. And so nobody told Jesus his name, at least as far as we know. But Jesus, of course, knew his name. And he says, he stops the entourage and he looks up in the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, come down from there. He says, come down from there, come down, for today I must stay at your house. And I want you to see from that the Lord Jesus, when he saves someone, he singles them out in order to speak to their heart. In our case, we don't see Jesus physically nowadays, but he speaks to their heart through the scriptures and through our witness to them. That's why we need to think about these sheep that are being talked about now. We're going to get to this about what these sheep are here in just a minute. So once again, he needs to make haste to come down from his high view of things to receive Jesus with joy. Now, that is really a beautiful thing, isn't it? Because I don't know if we always think about salvation that way, but that's the way that it was for Zacchaeus, to receive him with joy, receive Christ with joy, to receive salvation with joy. And my brothers and sisters, we have good news for lost sinners, lost sheep that are all around us. All these people around us that don't know the first thing about the Bible or truth, or some of them do, and that's good if they do, but they still, many of them need our help and our instruction of the Bible that we know to give them understanding. And what do we do when we share with them the gospel? We tell them to wait, and but I just says, make haste. You know, come down from the tree right now. I'm going to single you out here in this crowd. I must stay at your house. Look at the words there. I must stay at your house. And you know something? That's what Jesus must do if he's going to say, he's got to stay in your heart. He's got to come into your heart, into your mind, into your life. and he's got to save you personally from your sins. He's got to come down from his high view of things and meet and receive Jesus with joy. Question 4, why did all the Jews who were standing there watching this complain about Jesus going to be the guest of a sinner? We've already sought to answer this, but they didn't think that Jesus could truly be holy if he did this, right? And I think that we need to bear that kind of reproach with people around us. We don't need to be self-righteous people who look down upon sinners and think of ourselves as better than them, and so they need to come and be like us. Well, we do want them to come and be like us as Christians, but we don't want to promote self-righteousness as being the way to know God, because it's not. That people have to come to Christ as they are, whatever that background is, and whatever level of sinner that they are. A person can be a very moral man and be a very great sinner. I don't know if you see that, but that's what all these scribes and Pharisees were. They were outwardly moral people, but inwardly they were not sincere at all, either with God or with other people, if they only could see themselves correctly. So we need to understand that we need to have the right attitude about this, even if we're accused of being those who associate with sinners, just so we're not participating in their sins. We don't want to do that. But these men thought that Jesus couldn't be truly holy if he was associating with these people. And so that's why they were complaining. Question 5, why did Jesus say to Zacchaeus after he said he would give half of his goods to the poor that today salvation had come to his house, that he was the son of Abraham? And that he was the son of Abraham. Why did Jesus say to him, today salvation has come to his house? It was a real personal word of assurance, wasn't it, given to him? But how could he do that? How could he give him that word of assurance? What did he base that word of assurance upon, David?
Because he had come to saving faith.
Because he had come to saving faith, but it was something else too.
I was getting to that. Because there was a change of heart and indicated through a work that he was going to do.
Amen.
And that was to give half of his money, whatever, to the poor. And it shows that there was a true act of saving grace.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, because it led him to immediate repentance, which is really quite an extraordinary thing when you see it. He not only came down and received Jesus, but he's repentant in terms of what he's taken from other people and extorted from them in times past, which made him rich. But wow, look at what he says here. He says in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And then Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to this house because you are a son of Abraham. Wow, that is just so very good, isn't it? Question 6, how do we know that Jesus was actually seeking sinful Zacchaeus to be saved that day? I think we answered that here just a few minutes ago, too. It's because he knew him by name, and he told him to make haste and come down for that day he was going to stay at his house. Let's ask this question then, and I think we've answered it, but let's reiterate it for ourselves. Does Jesus have to seek, seventh question, a person spiritually today if they're going to be saved? Does Jesus have to seek them personally? He does, doesn't he? I think that this is very mysterious, of course, to many people because they just don't think of it that way in terms of the sovereignty of God or just how much the Lord Jesus has in his own person in terms of his omniscience and his great love for sinners. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? But with every sinner who is saved, the Lord Jesus has to seek them. The Father has to draw them. The Spirit has to work in their heart. But we need to also explain to other Christians around us that this is the importance of these things. Understanding the sovereignty of God and salvation, coupled with men's responsibility to believe, but also our own responsibility to be able to speak to sinners around us and to lovingly confront them with the truth of the gospel. Think about it in terms of the words that we say. Yeah.
I had another thought about verses 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to see what you thought about it. Jesus came and saw the Zacchaeus in the tree. Obviously, he knew Zacchaeus was going to be there in that tree, seeking Jesus that day. And he came to his house, and he said, "This day of salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham." So it appears that Zacchaeus was a seeker, seeking the Lord, found the Lord, knew that someone of great significance is going to walk by,
mm-hmm.
wanted to see him, made an effort to seek him. But I'm wondering, is it possible that Jesus is saying of himself, "This day of salvation come to this house"? Because in verse 10, of course, he's saying two things, really. "This day of salvation come to this house." I think that probably is Jesus. "For as much as he also is the son of Abraham." So he has come to save Zacchaeus that day, you're saying. And then in verse 10 it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost," which is really another explanation of verse 9, I think.
Mm-hmm. So are you asking the question concerning verse 9, that is the word "today's salvation" referring to Jesus?
Yeah, because there's several places where Jesus is literally called salvation.
Oh, definitely.
When who was the lady that was in the temple serving the Lord, the widow?
Mm-hmm.
And also, well, there's several places where
Saint Anna,
even as a baby, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Calling this baby salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Literally calling him salvation. I just was wondering about that.
Well, it certainly doesn't do any violence to the text. I think it can be understood in that way. I think that it can be referring to Jesus himself, but I think it can also be referring to the fact that because he had received Jesus and because Jesus was there to save him and to open his heart to these things, that the actual salvation of his soul took place. That salvation had come to him personally, come to his house. It affected everything that he would do from that point forward, including having Jesus there as a guest, which was looked down upon by so many of these Pharisees and scribes. So yeah, I don't have any real argument with that. I do think it has somewhat of a double meaning in this regard. The salvation personal, but of course that's always found in the Lord Jesus in his person. And so he can be referred to as salvation and is in the scriptures in numbers of places. That's a good question. I'm glad that you mentioned him. Amen. Jesus. That's right. Amen. Good point. He's referring to the literal physical Abraham their own forefather and the father of all who have faith, a son of Abraham. He's referring to him in that way, a true Jew.
He's referring to Zacchaeus, right?
Zacchaeus, exactly. He's referring to Zacchaeus in that way. What an amazing thing it is, isn't it? That salvation had come to his house because he also is the son of Abraham, having true and saving faith, in other words, even as Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness, Genesis 15:6. I guess we're already running late, but what a good study this is. And next time we'll talk about the 100 sheep and what they represent. And we'll learn even more here about the Jews of that day and the wandering sheep of our own day. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time around your word. We thank you that we can think about these wondrous and joyful things of how you save men and how you seek them, to find them and to lay them on your shoulders and to bring them into your fold. Help us to be those who are eager to share the gospel with people around us, who are sinners, whether they are great or small. We pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.